Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Have Rick and Tony with me. We are here for another one of the greatest shows in Bitcoin. Alrighty, before we jump into the news, let's talk about Bitcoin price action because people are losing their minds on Twitter. We are nearing 100,000. I saw somewhere that on maybe eToro or one of the exchanges it touched 100,000. I don't think we're counting that right now because we're sitting at 97.6 at the moment. Guys, when are we going to hit 100,000? What are your thoughts?
It's imminent, my friend, imminent. You know, the bottles of champagne are already on ice. You know, the cognac is, you know, sitting in the box waiting to be cracked open. You know, the single malt whiskey, you know, that you've been keeping for the last 15 years is still sitting here waiting for you for that big moment. Everybody's timing it. I don't know, man. I think whoever's in charge of the market knows this and just screwing around with everyone, just playing on everybody's nerves because we're so close. I mean, technically, we should have passed it already, right? But when it passes, I don't know. But it's imminent. Unless there's something really like miraculously catastrophic, it should be any minute now.
Brick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, so what? It's about 2:30 on a Friday, my time, right? And I think our show goes out on a Saturday, so about 24 hours, roughly, maybe 28 hours from now. So I don't know. Like, I, you know, let's get in touch with the editor, and I can make myself look like a genius here, right? Like, obviously, guys, it's not going to hit the 100K before this show goes out. Or obviously, it was going to blast through 100K and go straight to 120. Right. And now what we'll do is we'll get the editor to go and edit that just before it goes out. So I look like I called it exactly right. But yeah, who knows? Who knows? I mean, it's pretty much 100,000, isn't it? What's quite amazing about that is that, like, well, it's funny in all the Bitcoin group chats, right? Like, I'm fairly convinced not many Bitcoiners are getting too much work done this few days, right? Because, like, everyone's just sitting there like, when is it? When is it? When is it? Everyone's trying to capture that screenshot, you know, when it hits perfectly the 100,000 mark or whatever. I mean, look, you know, we can joke about it. We talk all the time about price not being the most interesting thing, and it isn't, right? But it was a momentous occasion when it crossed $10, $100, $1,000. Like, everyone likes these big round numbers, right? So, yeah, it's pretty funny. But also, you know, what I would say, what's really interesting is, you could even argue that Bitcoin is already more than 100K, right? Because the non-KYC price of Bitcoin is over 100K because you'll pay like a 10, 15% premium, right? So, you know, non-KYC Bitcoin's already over 100K. So, yeah, you can only get Bitcoin now under 100K if you're willing to pay the KYC, get the KYC discount, right? So, yeah, we're already there.
Love it. Yeah, I think I've seen a couple of people share that there appear to be many sell orders at 100K, which, you know, it makes sense. People pick a round number. So I wouldn't be surprised if we touch it and then drop a little bit and then maybe rocket through at some point. But, you know, who knows where we're going? Who really cares? It's only up and to the right over the long, over the long horizon. So we'll see. All righty, let's jump into some news. So just this week, Bitcoin surpassed the Taiwan dollar to become the 12th largest currency in the world. To me, this is way more interesting than the dollar-denominated price action, because I think this is indicative of a more important trend, is that we're overtaking fiat. And I think there are a lot of people who are over-celebrating and, you know, hey, we've made it to 100K or whatever. To me, it's like the work isn't done until the Federal Reserve doesn't exist. Like, I think that's, you know, that's like my litmus test for success in Bitcoin. Not that we haven't been successful, but like that's the ultimate achievement, I think. Rick, why don't you give your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? What was it? It got to, was it number 12, did you say, now, Bitcoin?
Yeah, we're at 12 and the Australian dollar is next.
Right. Fascinating. Yeah. I mean, well, like, what's really funny about this is that, like, there's still people out there that are like calling Bitcoin a Ponzi or a scam. It's the 12th biggest currency in the world, right? It's 15 years old, has 99.99 whatever percentage uptime. I mean, you'd have to be really crazy to try and like short this thing or think it's a scam. Like, you're out of your mind. It's quite obvious what it's doing. It's slowly becoming the world's reserve currency, right? So, I guess we started the show by asking, when do we think Bitcoin will cross 100K? Maybe a more interesting question is like, when is one sat $1? Right? Imagine that. I mean, that's only that the price of Bitcoin only has to be $1 million for that to be true, right? So we're a 10x away.
Yeah,
Oh,
that's a
not
yeah.
$1. Sorry, my mistake. One cent,
1 cent,
right? When will one
yeah.
cent be $1? One sat. And at $1 million, that's true. It's only 10x away. So, we're living in a pretty crazy situation. And I think like it's going to keep climbing. So anybody who's going to sit in those currencies thinking they're safe or thinking that's anywhere to store their wealth is crazy. Just look at the trajectory here. Like, why would you get in the way of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Tony?
Yeah, man, this is game theory on steroids here. I mean, we've all been saying that fiat currency is nothing more than toilet paper, and here comes Bitcoin flushing them down one by one, right? I mean, just 2 days ago, the what was it called? The moose shekel, the Canadian dollar, was also decimated by Bitcoin just not even 48 hours ago. So one by one, it's moving up the ranks until it gets to that, number one position as, the global standard for money. And along the way, it's going to keep decimating and flushing away that toilet paper, which is fiat paper, because that's all it is. It's just printed, worthless garbage that, governments have somehow fooled everyone to believe that somehow it has value, and everybody is like, struggling to make more of this worthless thing, for and wasting their whole days doing it and being taxed on it and being inflated away. It's complete lunacy. So, as these currencies continues to fall, hopefully more people will start paying attention to what's really going on and understanding, that this money that, you've strived your entire life to save is actually, nothing but a bunch of hot air, and you want to upgrade it as fast as possible while you still can to the only money that has value, which is Bitcoin. So math in action, man. That's all it is. Pac-Man. Quank, quank, quank,
All you've got to do to bet on Bitcoin is assume that adoption is going to continue to increase. And the best way to be convinced of that is just to evaluate the monetary properties on a global basis of Bitcoin versus fiat versus anything else. And it becomes pretty evident. But it's a hard orange pill to swallow for many. A lot of legacy thinking. All righty, up next, we've got Gary Gensler, or as the Bitcoin conference has, Gansler, to depart the SEC on January 20th. Bye-bye, Gary. We won't miss you. So this is an interesting one because I've seen a lot of Bitcoiners who are not as hateful toward Gensler as others. Like there's kind of a mix. Like he hasn't really been that bad for Bitcoin. Like all of like the crypto world hates him like very definitively. I'd be curious to hear your perspectives. Tony, we could start with you. And what do you like? Do you think this has any bearing on anything? And are you excited? Do you care?
I'm indifferent, to be honest with you. I didn't have any, really big feelings towards or against this guy. He never affected anything, in my immediate circle. One thing you have to keep in mind, though, like you said earlier, all the stuff that he did actually shed light and perhaps even caused, the collapses of the FTXs and all that junk that's out there. I mean, a lot of the stuff that he was doing ultimately led to the collapse of these, regulated institutions. Yes, it was horrible. A lot of people lost a lot of money, but at the same time, it cleansed out the space. Was he corrupt? I mean, many argue that, yeah, for sure he was corrupt. Some things that he did were completely nonsensical. There was no reason for him to do many of the decisions, to take many of the decisions that he took, but he took them anyhow. So who was pulling the strings behind the scenes? Nobody knows. So yeah, I'm sure a lot of people want to see him out. But as far as Bitcoin is concerned, it doesn't really matter who says anything. Bitcoin, is you can't regulate it. You can't make decisions for it. It's completely decentralized. It'll function whether you like it or not. Whether you try to ban it, regulate it, tax it, it'll just laugh at you and keep doing its thing every 10 minutes. So whether it's Gensler, whether it's someone else who, tries to get in the way of decentralized money, peer-to-peer money, it's going to be the same story all over again. But more importantly, it's going to be the same outcome.
Yeah.
TikTok, next block.
I think a lot of the number go up maxis are the ones who aren't fans of Gensler because his sort of definitive stance on not approving the ETFs for a long, long time got in the way of Wall Street inflows, retail buying exposure to Bitcoin price action, which is probably very true. I don't know to what extent the ETFs are, the cause of today's bull run, but I'm curious, Rick, what do you think about that? Is that something that you think
Yeah,
about?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think I fairly like Gensler for a few reasons, right? Like, do I think he's like well informed about Bitcoin and all this sort of stuff? Well, probably not. But there's a slight chance, right? There's a slight chance that he's actually like a secret Bitcoin maximalist, because if you look at the decisions he took, they might be the same decisions I might have made had I been in his shoes, right? So, number one, like Bitcoin ETFs. Well, if I'm a Bitcoin maximalist, yeah, I'd probably deny those for a long time as well, because actually, I would much rather see private citizens holding Bitcoin and it be widely dispersed, right? I think we'd actually have a more harmonious transition to a Bitcoin standard, the more dispersed Bitcoin is amongst the population, because the less that you have the haves and the have-nots and the big discrepancy, maybe the smoother everything goes. So, yeah, delaying the big boys finding a way to get their money into Bitcoin, I'm cool with that, Gensler, right? Like, I don't know, maybe that's a little bit anti-libertarian, but I always support the underdog, right? So, like, power to the people. And then, I actually agree with Gensler about the altcoins and the shit coins, right? Like he was very strict with them. He came out, I think I'm right in saying that he came out and said like ETH failed the Howey test or whatever, or passed the Howey test to mean that it was a security, right? Like it's not like Bitcoin with no centralized control. It's a security being offered and marketed for joint gain between the parties involved, right? Which puts it in a different sort of set of rules. And like you said, Michael, the crypto people hate that because, they want to launch, Dingus coin and crypto dick butt coin and all this other stupid stuff that they come out with without any authorities coming to do anything to them. So, again, maybe he's a secret maxi, right? And he was like, nah, I don't like shit coins, and I'm gonna make it life more difficult for them. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, chances are, right? Like he works for the government. Chances are, yeah, he probably is corrupt and probably isn't on our side. But I think, as a Bitcoiner, I think like maybe be careful what you wish for, right? Because if whoever is coming into that role, I don't know, but whoever takes that role up now, there's a strong possibility that, they're very pro crypto all of a sudden. Now, that could actually end up being a worse situation, right? Because probably one of the most prominent ways that you're likely to lose your Bitcoin is by getting drawn into a shitcoin scam, right? We see it every single cycle. People get tempted by all these stupid casino games. So if an SEC, chair comes in that's pro all that stuff and just says, everybody go wild, the amount of Bitcoiners they're going to lose, their stack is going to go up. So I don't know if I'm necessarily in favor of just letting that rip, So yeah, careful what you wish for. It's an interesting one, but ultimately, like Tony says, these people they're irrelevant, right? Bitcoin's going to do what it does, regardless of who you put in that seat.
Yeah, I think Gensler probably certainly understands Bitcoin better than the average person. He taught classes on it at MIT. Now, there are plenty of economists teaching, economics in universities all over the world who don't understand economics, but maybe have a grasp of something that the average person doesn't. So, yeah, I don't have a real strong opinion about Gensler. I think it's fun to see Bitcoiners get excited about something, but I don't know that they're right or wrong. And I wouldn't be surprised if the next chair of the SEC is, from a free market perspective, I'm all about this, but to see if that person is very pro crypto, because I don't think most in the Trump administration understand Bitcoin, not crypto. And that's an important distinction to make. So, yeah, time will tell. But Gensler, adios. I hope you enjoy your sweet gig at whatever your your crypto exchange or financial TradFi firm of choice is. All righty. Finally, we've got Robinhood has agreed to acquire Bitstamp, an international crypto exchange. And so this was interesting. So the deal is going to, it's a $200 million purchase, and Bitstamp has $4.5 billion worth of crypto on their platform. As I mentioned to you guys, we have to keep in mind that the those assets technically, you know, belong or an IOU to customers. So it sounds like a low valuation, but, you know, I couldn't find Bitstamp's revenue. And that would be more indicative of the multiple that Robinhood would be paying for them. So anyway, my curiosity and sort of the question for you is, to me, this seems like another step, you know, toward TradFi adopting, you know, crypto, they'll learn the hard lesson in crypto and eventually land on Bitcoin. I think everyone does it, you know, over a long enough time horizon. Tony, what do you think? Does this mean anything for the industry? Does it mean anything for what we should expect to see in the coming years with TradFi's entrance into the space?
Well, as much as I'd like to see these platforms disappear, you know, it's a bit unrealistic to expect this, at least in the short term, because it goes against human nature. I mean, these are essentially their shitcoin casinos, and human beings, for the most part, love to gamble. So no matter what you try to explain to folks, there's always going to be the thrill of easy money, right? And what better ways to expect to make easy money than in this whole crypto Disneyland? And so these platforms are going to capitalize on the greed and the fast money that these people are going to come chasing. And, you know, time after time, eventually these people will get tricked. More of them will lose money than make money. And at some point, you know, hopefully the interest in these platforms will disappear. But wishing for them just to vanish like this is a bit unrealistic. It's almost like saying, if we're going to do this, then we might as well shut down all of Las Vegas, because it's still the same type of stupidity, just with different games, right? Let people do what they want. People learn the hard way. You know, if they enjoy losing money, it's like an entertainment, thrill-seeking activity, then so be it. As far as how it affects Bitcoin, I don't see it affecting it at all. In fact, I think it'll be a net positive, maybe not immediately, but sooner than later. When people get tired of losing money, well, then, you know, they have to start saving it at some point, somehow, right? And they're not going to do it in dollars, because that's going to be worth even less by then. And so where else are they going to go? All roads lead to Bitcoin. No matter which way you look at it, you always come back to the one focal point, which is decentralized money that no one can control.
Yeah, and I think Rick, you made the point on a previous episode. You were talking about how, like, you had some sympathy for the meme coins because they're not really pretending to be money. Like, the whole point is it's a game, and no one is looking at fundamentals. And the bigger issue where people will lose money on that. It's sort of hard to be pissed off losing money gambling on meme coins. What I think is more frustrating are the projects that misrepresent themselves as a decentralized global digital currency that's going to, you know, flip Bitcoin at some point, and we do all, you know, all these bells and whistles. I think to me that's what's maybe a bit more concerning. Rick, what's your take on this acquisition?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I'd agree with you straight away, Michael, about, like, I find the meme coins, like, almost a bit funny, and, like, kind of like maybe a depressing, like, you know, reflection of what society has become, right? But at least in some respects, they're quite brazen about, you know, like, you know, this is a stupid coin with, like, a funny picture of Biden on it, right? And we've called it Boden or whatever. And man, it is funny, right? But I think, yeah, probably no one's particularly butthurt when they lose money on these things, because, like, come on, like, you know, you didn't think this was serious, surely. Whereas, you know, the stuff like ETH and Solana and, like, all of what was that Hoskins one? Like, AVAX and all this, like, he was Cardano. Trying to cozy up. Cardano, that's it. Yeah, he's trying to cozy up to the US government, and like that to me is a bit more pernicious, right? Because they try and posture and position themselves as like, I don't know, like Bitcoin 2.0, or like Bitcoin does one thing and we do something else, but it's going to be just as serious. And then, that marketing combined with, a human being's natural unit bias, which is, oh my God, Bitcoin's 100,000, I can't afford one, whereas I can afford 250 of this stupid coin, right? Like those two things combined, I think, get more people wrecked. But in terms of like Bitstamp and Robinhood, well, that's quite interesting, isn't it? It's quite like the antithesis of what Bitcoin's all about, because what you're seeing is one big fish, right? Robinhood, swallow up a smaller competitor, if you like. And so what you're seeing is in, as is typical in TradFi, things are centralizing, right? They're all, cohesive and joining into one big amorphous blob. Whereas Bitcoin is a completely decentralized sort of network and system. So, I think the thing to remember is like what we're here for is for you to take control of your own money. It's called an exchange. It's not called a Bitcoin bank. It's called a Bitcoin exchange. Like if you need to, go and swap some rubbish fiat at an exchange if that's the easiest way for you to get your hands on some Bitcoin. But you don't leave it there, right? You have to take it away. Otherwise, you essentially leave it either in the hands of Bitstamp or apparently now Robinhood. And look, I've got nothing really bad to say about Bitstamp. I've been aware of them for years. I've never heard of them being in a scandal, being hacked, losing customer data. So, I guess seemingly in 10 years, they've done better than most exchanges. So, I don't have any shade to throw at them for that. But Robinhood, on the other hand, Robinhood have got some history, man. Like, look, I don't trade stocks, and I certainly don't trade meme stocks and stuff like that, right? But like, do you remember the whole GME thing when a bunch of degens on Reddit decided that they were going to try and blow up some hedge fund that had this huge short position on the company GME? So all the degens decided, well, hang on, I don't know. Someone had done the maths and figured out that actually, if we pump this thing hard enough, we can liquidate this $8 billion hedge fund. And so like the whole internet piled in. It was really funny. It looked like they were going to pull it off. And then Robinhood, out of nowhere, came along and removed the button. Like you couldn't push the buy button anymore. So they basically locked retail out. The only option you had left was to sell. Now, this is clear. Like, I mean, that's completely criminal. That's like blatant fraud, right? Not letting the big guy lose. So yeah, look, if I'm a Bitstamp customer, for example, and I've got Bitcoin on that exchange, knowing some of the previous sort of debacles and scandals Robinhood have been, caught up in, I would certainly be thinking, you'd be crazy to leave your Bitcoin in their custody or anybody's custody for that matter. Go and take it off the exchange, get yourself an air-gapped hardware wallet, run a node, figure it out. It's really, really important that you do that. So yeah, like Tony, these companies are going to buy each other out forever, right? And centralize, but it's not going to affect Bitcoin. It might affect the people who use them.
Yeah, so don't. And just for context, everyone listening, we're at ni a little over, we're just under 98,000 right now. It's about 9 o'clock Central Time here in the United States. So if you're watching this tomorrow, that's where we're at. If we've already hit 100K, we'll make sure to edit Rick accordingly to sound brilliant. But guys, thank you to everyone listening. Thanks for joining. As Rick was talking about, the most important thing you can do is get your Bitcoin into 100% self-custody. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We would love to schedule some time to talk you through how we do this and to help you. We don't need to know your KYC information. We don't need to know your stack. You don't have to, we don't even have to see you. We'll do video calls. You can keep your camera off, retain your privacy. That is so important today. Speaking of privacy, we can help with online privacy phones. And if you need to get out of the place that you're living in, we've got Plan B residency options as well. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Gentlemen, thank you for the time. Looking forward to doing this again in a few days.
Thank you, Michael. It's great.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers, guys.